This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Clayton Wimsest and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our LGBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce new ways of thinking, and most importantly, facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. You will notice that you are not hearing Michelle's voice this evening as she is unwell again. Hopefully she gets better very quickly. So she has a bad throat, which is not a great way to go for radio. But, you know, because I can't do a show without a Michelle, I do have a Michelle replacement.
Going to the other Michelle.
Yeah, I got another Michelle.
So no Mama Michelle, but you get Mama Bear Michelle.
Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Clayton. How are you?
And our other guest this evening is a Dr. Vincent Cornelessi. You can correct me if you need to.
You can murder that name whichever way you
Okay, cool.
Cornelis is the
Cornelis.
Whatever.
There seemed to be a lot of S's and E's on the end, so I just kept going.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
The listing.
Yeah. Yes, so we are in here tonight to talk about trans health. And we've talked about health with Dr. Vincent. Can I just call you Vincent?
Call me Vincent. Right?
Yeah. We've talked about health with Dr. Vincent before, but we haven't actually talked about trans health on the show before. So we've got a lot of stories to share, I believe.
Oh, we've already warned Clayton that he may not get much of a voice on air. It's because Vincent coming in, a bit of a story, because this is what's so good is Vincent is, he's my maker. He made me the woman that I am today. and you want to check if on me, so he decided to wear my heels for the rest of the show and walk around the studio in them.
And she's not joking. She is actually wearing her heels.
They're very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Yes.
And to get prepared, he made sure he bought me lots of chocolate down at 7-Eleven. And
I like to treat a girl right.
That's right, exactly.
My issue is that I'm not a particularly tall person. I'm not short, but I'm not tall. Now I'm just overshadowed by both of you.
Well, it's not often that somebody else is standing taller than me. I look like a giraffe walking around in heels, and I'm already 6'3 as it is.
Yeah, so.
And then Vincent puts on my heels, and he's looking down at me, and I'm going, oh, so this is what it feels like.
Yeah, welcome to the club. I come in at 5'9", so I'm, looking up at pretty much most people. Anyway, before we get started with the full show, we're going to have a talk about the Safe Schools Coalition, because Vincent, you had something to say about
Safe
Schools.
Well, I just can't pass up the opportunity to use this microphone to have a little rant. So, Michelle.
Do you need your soapbox?
Can you pass me my soapbox?
Okay, ready?
Thank you, because I needed to be a bit taller.
The soapbox is full of with, beverages.
Yes. With your heels.
Exactly. I was just going to say, I mean, we all know what's been going on. There's been a lot of hate in this country lately. And we all know who these people are. I'm not going to name any names. I don't want the Joy Legal Department to get upset at me.
Well, you feel like it's America now for some reason.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's a really bizarre situation to be in, I think. And all I wanted to say that, you know, I just want to put my opinion out there. And my opinion, because I can indulge for a second, I've got the mic. My opinion, you know, obviously, homophobia, transphobia, it's all based in fear and it's based in insecurity. That's what phobias are. And like I said, we know who these people are. So I just wanted to, well, I'm pretty sure none of these people that I'm talking about are actually listening to this show right now. They'd be very surprised. So I was just going to put out a call out there to all our audience members that if you run into one of these people, one of these members of parliament and these self-appointed community representatives that are around a place spruiking this hate, if you run into them, I want you to do something for me. And I would like you to go up to them and give them a big hug, a really big bear hug. And then I want you to lean over and whisper in their ear. I want you to say, "It is okay to be gay. I know you're scared, and I know you've got some insecurities, but there's help. And can you please go and get yourself some therapy and stop picking on the rest of us?" That's all I'd like to say. And if they're not keen on that, if they want to keep picking on the kids in school, then just say, "Darling, darling, stop picking on the little ones. Pick on someone your own size. I'm happy to volunteer. They can come pick on me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn."
Now
right
you,
there.
Now you have my heels on you taller. They I'm can't very look down tall. At you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's all I wanted to say. I just think, you know, these poor men, because they're always men, these poor men need a bit of love. They need to deal with their insecurities. And that's all. I was from here. I was just going to say, I think we all need a little bit of disco defiance.
It's like hugging Waldorf and Statler from The Muppet Show. Yeah.
So that's the end of my rant, the end of my soapbox. But for a bit of disco defiance, let's go to Gloria Gaynor and "I Will Survive."
Just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Stand Up Straight. This is the other Michelle. Mama Michelle isn't here. Michelle. Joined by the paneling of Clayton and my Dr. Vincent.
Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Vincent so sounds like it should be on a soap opera.
It does.
I would love to be on a soap opera. Okay. If anyone wants to hire me for a soap opera, I'll be there.
So we are actually here tonight to talk trans health, and I believe you two might know something on the subject. So my first question is, and I find it, what do we mean by trans health?
Sounds like a quiz show.
It does, yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. I'll
take
the buzzer.
I'll take trans for five, Bob.
You can use your name as buzzers. What do we mean by trans health?
Do you want me to
Either way,
you can. Okay. You're the doctor.
All right, thanks. Trans health is it's a very broad umbrella term, obviously. I think because there are many aspects to trans health, and it often falls in general practice because general practice is a multifaceted sort of part of medicine. So trans health includes, obviously, healthcare around transitioning. So that includes the psychological aspects of transitioning, the hormone therapy, for some people the speech therapy, and everything else that comes along with it. Physiotherapy sometimes as well for posture and walking. So the transitioning health, there's sexual health aspects to transgender healthcare. That's not necessarily that much different from sexual health for the general community.
We just need a softer hand.
I don't know what that means. And then there's obviously the mental health aspects and physical health. The physical health is a little bit different as a result of the hormone treatment. And obviously some people go for surgery as well, whether that's top surgery or bottom surgery. Certainly not everyone does that, but some people do, and that can come with its own issues. So obviously people need to get used to the different body parts that they now have. And sometimes people have complications from surgery, but fortunately that doesn't happen very often.
And that can be one of the issues some people have around transgender health, is they think it's all about the crotch surgery. Okay, I don't know, probably a better term for that. But how many, just a real rough guess, how many surgeries would you count as being trans surgery? Like, just...
It depends on...
Yeah. Really, I think the beauty about transgender healthcare is that it is very individualised. So mm-hmm. I think that certainly... I don't think there's any rules.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is with transition is different for everyone.
Yeah.
And so there's people who are what's called op or non-op or whatever, or pre-op. Like for myself, I've chosen to be non-op. So when we talk about op is what's going on downstairs. Mm-hmm. And not a large percentage of trans people actually go ahead with lower surgery, and that's either by personal choice, either financial means, or whatever. There's so many different reasons why people don't actually do lower surgery. But there's also different things, like if I wanted to go and get breast augmentation, mm-hmm. There's things around that. You'll have to talk to Vincent about that. How does it work with my hormones? All that, understanding how my body's going to actually react to that, or if I got to go off hormones for surgery. There's just all kinds of different things. And it isn't always about surgery.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
I can come in and sit down and say, look, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that, and we can decide, whether it's, again, mental or family or,
yeah, exactly.
or everything.
I think, in my experience, the majority of trans health consultations are not about surgery.
Yeah.
They're mainly about hormone therapy, sexual health, psychological well-being, and, as you mentioned, all the social factors that come with it, family, friends, employers.
And the thing is some things I've talked with other doctors about as well, and you can probably fill in on this one, is that not a lot of doctors know what to do other than prescribing birth control medicine, because that's all there really is at this point, really, to go with. I mean, there's other ways, and we know a common friend of ours who actually tried different types of hormone therapy of their own, but it's unknown, and there's no way to really track it. And so it's such a fine science, and if you do the wrong thing, you can destroy your liver, you can destroy your kidneys, and so it's basically making sure that everything's being done properly.
So that's the importance of a doctor, to make sure that you are doing what you should be doing and not just destroying your body slowly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess doing it in the safest and most effective way possible. So obviously there is one thing that, you know, I always talk about with hormone therapies, and obviously we aim for a sort of ideal range of hormones of the affirmed gender range, the reference range, the laboratory range. Sometimes people are tempted to try and up their hormone dose to try and get changes to occur faster, but often we find that does, even if you up the dose, it doesn't actually cause changes to occur any faster, because you need to let your body sort of do its own thing. It just takes time.
And so if you do the wrong thing, next thing you've got deep vein thrombosis, you've got, you know, you've got heart problems, you've got whatever. And one of the things I loved about dealing with Vince as my doctor is that Vince went slow. Like we went, and like when I did my hormone therapy, it was, okay, let's slowly introduce the blockers. Let's slowly introduce the hormones and actually really track and take, you know, really pay attention to what we're doing. And I could actually explain to him every little thing that was going on with my body. Because who am I going to talk to? I've got breast development going on. And at the time when I started doing it, I'm 36 years old. I've never been through this. I don't have somebody to talk to about my own puberty. I don't know what's going on. So, you know, being able to go and have that personal one-on-one going, doc, my nipple sore. What does that mean? You know, and we can go and there's no embarrassment. There's nothing. And we can really discover through the numbers in the paper saying, what is it?
And I think that's a really good analogy you just made. I think it is, in a way, like going through puberty. I mean, it's not exactly like going through puberty because, you know, you may be at a very different life stage than you were in puberty, but all the changes that occur, the body changes and the mental changes that occur as a result of the hormones can, for some people, be quite analogous to going through puberty. And that can be a very difficult time. And I think that's part of the importance of the doctor in transgender medicine, is sort of guiding people through that and saying, look, these are the things that, you know, you can expect to happen, but it may work out otherwise, but you know, come and talk to us if something happens that you're not happy with.
And the emotional side of things, like for trans men, going from being able to cry and emotionally express certain things to all of a sudden having that masculine, I can't cry, I'm a bit more numb. Where with trans women, it's gone from being that numb and can't cry and really expressed, all of a sudden you're like listening to songs, like for myself, I'm driving the two songs going, why didn't you love me anymore? What's wrong with me? And I'm just crying for no reason. And go to Vince, why am I crying? It's okay, dear.
It's the hormone stuff.
So in terms of trans health, where is it in scientific development compared to health for cisgendered people? Is it on par, or?
It's a very good question. The difficulty we have in transgender healthcare is that we don't have the evidence base that we have with cisgendered people. So all the big worldwide studies on all sorts of different health markers, they're generally conducted on cisgendered people. They're not conducted on transgender people. And I think, you know, part of that is because it's a numbers game. So if you're working in epidemiology and you're trying to work out all these health markers and seeing, you know, what causes disease and what benefits people, it's from an epidemiological point of view, it's easier to get cisgendered people because there are just many more of them. Mm. So your numbers are higher, so you can actually show stuff. But part of it is that, you know, historically, and it's been going on, but it's finally changing. But historically, transgendered people have been actively excluded from many studies because they deemed, I guess, to be too different from the cisgendered people to be able to include it in these cohorts. But it's finally starting to change with, for example, some of the PrEP studies are starting to look more at transgender health.
And this is something I was always curious about. And do you think that people who are transgender in the past who've gone to, well, from lack of a better way of putting it, and this is the only way one can really understand, is stealth or passing, and they go off into society and they don't include themselves on studies to go and get further information for for medicine?
No, I'm not going to put the blame with transgender people.
No, I'm not either. But I mean, I find there's a lot of people who just don't want to continue being part of the trans community. Or,
well, it's, I imagine, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, Michelle, because obviously you're very active. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think for the way like I said, I'm just going to say this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that with a lot of transgender people, and I guess using transgender people in this sense is kind of incorrect, but if someone is transitioning to their affirmed gender, the aim is to get to their affirmed gender. The aim is not to be a transgender person, and their identity is not to be a transgender person. Mm. Their identity is as the affirmed gender.
Yeah.
So people don't identify as transgender people as a result of that, which is perfectly understandable, but as a result, it's also difficult to include people in, I guess, in studies, if you...
Well, the thing is, though, is that there's still things going on with a person's body, even after the affirmed gender. You know, there's the physical characteristics, things being changed, but still there's some underlying things that are going on within their bodies that still need to be, like, for example, trans men. Yeah, they appear, whatever, they may not have surgery, lower surgery, but they're still going to need to have pap smears and things like that done, whatever. And so there's certain health things that still need to be done,
yeah,
even though they're hiding in society.
Yeah.
And so they're showing up for the doctors, and the doctor's going, well, I don't know what to do with this.
Oh, and that's why I think it's helpful for people to see a doctor who has a special interest in transgender healthcare, so that they don't... I mean, you would hope that if you go to a doctor in the suburbs, you're going to get treated with respect and you're going to get appropriate healthcare. But unfortunately, that's not always the case when doctors are faced with something that they have no experience with. So... one of the benefits of seeing a doctor who's got a special interest in transgender healthcare is that you can, you know, as a trans man, you can come in for your pap smear and not feel too awkward about it. I mean, I think it's fair to say that for most trans men, it's always going to be awkward to have a pap smear. But
well, and also, you know, for me, like, that's what's so different about myself is that, I am in my affirmed gender. Lower surgery doesn't necessarily make me more of a woman or less of a woman in my particular eyes, because obviously you do look at me and go, well, Michelle's clearly a woman, you know, you made me, for God's sakes. So are you happy with your work?
I'm very happy.
But the thing is I'm staying in the public light so that I can help with these sorts of things and help bring more awareness. But also, if there is studies that need to be done, if someone's going to take a bit of, you know, a bit of blood there and say, okay, let's test some more of this and do whatever, I want to be able to contribute towards that so that the studies can be done further.
Mm.
Instead of saying, no, I'm going to hide and disappear and not contribute and help.
Well, I'm going to stop this amazing conversation for just a little bit so we can head into a break. You're on Stand Up Straight. If you want to message in, you can do so on 0427JOY949 if you have a question for either of our guests.
He's cut you off because he can't take you serious in those heels.
Yeah, we're having a shoe change in the break. You can also on air at joy.org.au. You are on Stand Up Straight with Clayton, Michelle and Vincent.
Come with me and we'll be in a world of pure froculation. Hello, lovelies, it's Frock Hudson, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. My name is Clayton Wimshurst. I am joined in the studio by Michelle 2.0.
The new and improved version.
And Dr. Vincent, or Vincent, or I can't even remember how to say the last name.
Cornelise.
With a long S.
Yeah, long S.
The end.
Just gay it up a little bit.
A bit of sass at the end. Okay, so Michelle,
we're coming back in. Mm-hmm. And you guys really brought up a really important part here. And this is where I break the rules. I'm the gremlin of the trans community, and I'm pretty much going to stand up here. I might give myself box back, okay?
All right.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, there you go. Not loud enough.
Sorry.
But the thing is I'm going to stand up here. I'm going to, yes, I'm a trans woman. I'm staying out. I'm not hiding. I'm going to stand here and say tranny. I'm going to say things like that. I'm taking it back. The thing is that the community does not know how to address us. And I'm speaking out to everyone who's trans, everyone who's straight, everyone who's whatever, that we just need to basically get over this language thing. All right. What we need to do is start saying, hey, okay, I understand that you don't understand my pronoun. You don't understand whether for me is he or she or whatever. I totally get it. And it's a new language. People are getting their heads around it. And right now in this whole conversation just now, you both have been so afraid to say the wrong thing, a fear of offending. And that is painful to watch. That is absolutely horrible. As I had to go and hide and do whatever and feel that oppression myself for many years, why should I make you feel that same feeling?
Well, I mean, I don't feel oppressed, but...
Yeah. But I mean, you're going down to you and saying, how dare you? Why how dare you say trans? Don't say trans woman to me. I'm a woman. Well, no, that's ridiculous. You don't know. You're even a doctor in this space, treating me and checking my bloods every time I come in and doing my hormones or whatever. And you don't even know how to address me or do the right thing because you're too afraid to say the wrong thing or offend me.
Yeah,
well, you're wearing my shoes, for God's sakes. We're fine.
I think...
And you bought me chocolate.
I think you make a really... I did buy chocolate. But you make a really important point, I think. I think... And I don't really... I'm umming and ahhing now because I feel I don't really have ownership of this space. Because this is not my space.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a service provider in this space, but I'm not a member of the trans community. Mm. So I feel like I can't really speak on a lot of this stuff. As a healthcare professional, I find... In case there are any healthcare professionals out there who are thinking about treating trans patients, I find the easiest thing to do is just ask people So you ask people what, you know, what their pronoun is, and you ask them where they are in their journey, and then you ask them how people would like to be addressed. And
but I think for, you know, I'm trying to change the language. I'm trying to teach a lot of other trans people, gender neutral people and everything, to back off. You know, it's great. I don't want to be, say, called he by accident. But you know, sometimes it happens. People slip up even in my family and stuff and still say Daniel sometimes. It happens. Because you just, and like, you know what? Cool. Let's just back off a little. They'll get it. They're trying. And I've had these conversations with people saying, I'm just trying. I'm just too afraid. When people are saying to me that they're afraid, that's not nice. That's not a good feeling. And people shouldn't be feeling that way. And I'm just, yeah. And the thing as well is, you're a gay man. And you're in this...
Who, me?
How dare you?
How dare you?
Oh, I think you were the token heterosexual.
Sponge bag.
And the thing is you're within the rainbow community and you still don't even know how to address us. And that's hard. Like that, I don't, it's not because of you. It's because of us. We're doing this.
I feel in a very privileged position at Joy in that I am in a great place to make mistakes and learn, and then I can pass that on to other people as well.
Exactly. So I just slap you a little bit, not too
occasionally,
much.
Occasionally, yeah. And I actually kind of like that, so that's okay. But I do like, I like the fact that I know I can make mistakes with you and Megan. You are Michelle. Yes. You and Megan.
The other
make mistakes, yeah. And it's fine. And yeah. When I was doing my Taste of Radio, I was doing a little speech, and I suddenly realized I was misgendering Caitlyn Jenner in the middle of my speech, and yeah. I, because of the space I knew I was in, I just said, oh, and suddenly I realized that I'm misgendering, and just took it humorously and said that it's actually absolutely okay for me to make a mistake.
Right.
So, yeah.
And, you know, people go and even refer to me today. I was getting my hair blow waved, and the girl was talking to me, and she's like, oh, so what do you think of Bruce Jenner, whatever. And I'm going, it's been Caitlyn for
right,
like,
a while now.
You know, yeah. Quite some time now. I'm going, wow, you know, people are still, they don't understand. Mm. And that's the thing that we need to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we need to keep the conversation going.
I agree.
And I may have said I'm ready for Caitlyn Jenner to go away a little bit, but that was more about her political position than anything
yeah.
else.
Yeah, so, I'm kind of there too.
Yeah. we have a message in from Michelle.
the
real Michelle. No.
You mean Michelle 1.0?
Are you saying I'm not real?
No, you are real.
I'm a real girl.
I thought I made a mistake last time by calling you the not normal Michelle, so I thought I'd do another one this time.
I am so not normal.
Yeah. So what a fabulous conversation. Thank you, Michelle. So sorry I'm not there. Question: how does the very first conversation take shape when you're going to the doctors for the first time as either the doctor or the patient?
I remember actually going to see Vince, and I was kind of being confident and sitting there, but I remember even kind of like knees together, kind of looking at the ground, feeling embarrassed, to be quite honest. I'm transgender. Handing my letters over. But Vince was just lovely. Vince didn't really, no, not about an eye. Yeah, okay, no worries. And
let's get going.
So,
and how about for a doctor? How's those first conversations go?
I find it's different every time. So mm-hmm. I really, like I said, everyone's journey is so different and everyone's at a different point when they come to see me. Some people have been thinking about it for years and years and they come in and they're so ready to go. And, you know, they often, you know, want everything to happen now. This is kind of this, because they've been, this is all this pent up sort of readiness to go. And they finally make that step. So that's some people, and other people come in and say, "Oh, look, I'm not sure. I just, you know, want to have a talk about it." And it's very individual.
I don't want to start off on 2 milligrams. I want 12 now.
Yeah. I'm just gonna bend over, just start shooting.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Injections.
And there's no. I think that's the important thing with this sort of, like I said, there's so much individual variation. There is no script. There is no. Like, you can't go, oh, the new patients come to see me, this is what we're going to talk about. It really depends on where that person's at.
So how your journey started with Vincent, how did you find Vincent?
He has a gentle touch. No. Well, you know, like today, he needs to catch up on, you know, where I'm at mentally. So he's walking a mile in my shoes today to find, you know, to find out where I'm at.
He's and chocolate.
And chocolate, you know. Girl, you need sugar. Yeah, no, look, Vincent, this is it. Like, that's why we developed such a good humor. Mm. And... I'm living out regional in Melton. And so in a lot of these places, you've got doctors who aren't, I'm not racist, I'm not whatever, but most of these doctors, their English is not their first language. Mm-hmm. And I've walked in the past and saying, look, I'm dealing with something. I think I might be transgender, I might whatever. And they're like basically prescribing me antidepressants.
Okay.
You know, or I've gone in with a burst appendix and I sat there for 2 weeks with a burst appendix and they're going, oh, you just have irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
And I ended up in hospital, like in that case, for 2 months.
Mm.
Okay. So it's not right. There needs to be better care out in these areas. So coming in and seeing Vince at a center that was actually a gay men's center, I found that the people there are really understanding what's going on. And so I felt so much more comfortable because he would have had exposure to something like this already.
Absolutely. Do you feel that people often come from further away to see you?
Definitely. And yeah, I've got people coming from all over the state.
Wow.
So I mean, and it's a, I think that's a problem. I think I mean, not that it's not a problem that people come and see me. I'm very happy to see everyone, but I think it's a problem that people need to come in all the way to the clinic that we're at in order to get healthcare.
I think all clinics need to have something set up similar to the police department. The police department have something called GLOW. And the GLOW is to help all the different people, LGBT, minorities, whatever, in this sort of, you know, sense. So I know if I'm an officer in somewhere like Sunshine or Melton, there's a GLOW officer there. I think a lot of clinics around, especially in regional areas, should have a doctor that is a GLOW specific, that if I need to go in and say, this is what I'm dealing with, you're going to see that specific doctor. And you don't have to go and travel in from regional Bendigo or whatever to come down to Melbourne to go and get service and assistance.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to work on this, Michelle. I think we need to start a website or something where, because there's LGBTI doctors out in the country. There's not many, but
not many.
But there are. And I mean, obviously, they're very hard to find for people. So maybe we need to come up with a website or something, an app. Yeah, like a Grindr for LGBTI doctors. Location specific.
This one likes the shade red of his lipstick.
We need to have something so that it's easier for people to find these services.
They do. Anybody's got ideas for this, please definitely send in to me, even to myself, send it to Stand Up Straight. Send it to the transpositions email, transpositions@joy.org.au. This is something that we really need to work on, because I hear the narrative all the time on the forums within the trans community that people are traveling for interstate to different places from, you know, all the way up in like Burke down to Melbourne, and it's just not right.
No. And, well, I guess on a positive note, there is a new network within the College of GPs, the Royal Australian College of GPs, that's specific for sexual health. And, you know, transgender medicine is not all sexual health, but that's probably going to be the easiest umbrella to slip it under to try and promote,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because the same thing with like with employment, with trans stuff, they actually slip us under mental health as a mental health assistance to getting back into employment. And that's where these stereotypes coming in, is that all of a sudden we've got mental health issues, which we don't. I mean, there is, that's a whole other show we talk about on our show. But in general, it's not a mental health thing. Second off, it's not a sexual health thing. This isn't a fetish. This isn't something. It's the stereotypes of sex and whatever. In my case, as you know me, I've got two daughters, 10 and 6. I'm a parent. I work in the city doing my job. I just go about my business. I go home and watch cartoons with them, drink my coffee. You know, there's nothing sexual, fetish, or whatever. And these are the things that people need to start changing and understanding.
Mm. Normalizing.
Normalizing.
Yeah.
How dare you?
We'll come back. I'm not saying it's abnormal, but I think we need to have like a normalizing action to just,
yes,
so that everyone understands that it's normal.
Yes.
And there's certainly a perception out there about transgender not being a normal thing, where it really is for a lot of people.
Of course, so, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to head to a break, but I just wanted to say that the Pronto Clinic in, I can't remember the suburb actually, is now going to be working with transgender health as well. So, as well as rapid testing, they're going to move on to some trans health as well.
Yeah, Dr. Pauline Cundall is doing some transgender clinics there.
Yeah.
And so she's
everywhere.
She's lovely. She's amazing.
If you want more information on that, Google Pronto Clinic. So, you're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. If you want to join our conversation, 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane from LA to Tokyo. Hi, my name is Bella, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9. Remember my name. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. I am not Michelle. I am not, well, I am not the Michelle that was talked about in that ad.
You can always be Michelle.
Yeah, I could be Michelle. I reckon it'd be a great dress-up party costume.
You could.
Yeah. We are talking trans health tonight with Michelle Shepherd and...
Shepherd?
Or Michelle C. Shepherd.
C. Shepherd.
And Dr. Vincent Cornelis.
Doctor.
That's right.
So I wanted to ask about how does sexual health differ for trans people, and you can start with trans men or trans women first, whatever works.
It's a very good question. I could give you a very long answer, not because sexual health care for transgender people is necessarily that much different, but because sexual health is a very broad category. I mean, sexual health, everyone always thinks about chlamydia and gonorrhea.
Yeah.
But sexual health encompasses, you know, having a good sex life, having, you know, a sex life that's free from discomfort, free from coercion, free from STIs. So it's very broad. But I guess if we're going to come down to the nuts and bolts of it, then the difference, because most of that is completely the same between transgender people and cisgendered people.
What, the nuts and bolts?
No. I'm talking about the sexual function and the... Well, the sexual function can be a bit different, but the having healthy sexual relationships stuff.
Suddenly I want to ask, doctor, where do babies come from? And keep going.
Thanks, Michelle. So I think if we're coming down to the nuts and bolts, there's some slight differences, obviously, in terms of... And this depends per person. It depends on whether someone's had bottom surgery or not. Obviously, top surgery doesn't really change much from a sexual health point of view. And it depends on what a person's doing. So it depends on whether they have male sexual partners, female sexual partners, and all these things. You know, there's a plethora of variables. So it can be different, but it can be quite the same as well. Does that
tops,
answer the question?
Bottoms, middles.
Yeah, exactly. And in the end, you know, all it comes down to, if you want to have some, you know, hard and fast rules on STIs, I'm full of gold. Don't
yeah, you just snap off there. Yeah.
If you want to have any hard and fast rules, basically, if you stick anything in a hole, you need to do a swab to check if there's any problems.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too blood?
Make sure you use the good loop. No, it's just
no in jokes tonight.
No in jokes.
If you like it, you should put a condom on it.
Exactly.
Or just a little plug. You may need some prep.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So pep and prep are equally important for transgender people as they are for cisgender people.
I think. Look, like I said, hard fast rules. Sexual health really isn't much different for trans people as for cis people. Like you said, whether it's anal sex, whether it's just, you know, normal, vaginal, whatever. But I think probably the biggest thing that is affecting a lot of our community is around the actual mental health dealing with dating itself.
Mm.
So in my case, going from being married twice to a woman, and my last marriage was 11 years. Well, now I'm out dating. Do I date men? Do I date women? I'm attracted to men. But how are the rules? What are the rules? How does that work? That's the stuff I think that probably affects mostly. And there's a lot more experimentation. And I think it's important to discuss these things with your doctor if you're going to be starting to do that, so you know the best ways to look after yourself.
Yeah, I think, and that's a brilliant point. I think that is the trickier part of sexual health. Diagnosing someone with chlamydia or gonorrhea, you know, you don't need a medical degree for that. That's really easy.
Well, that's looking green.
But it's that stuff you're talking about is the tricky stuff. How do you negotiate relationships? And that does change for people when they transition.
Because for us, there's no real space for us to date. So you're looking at online dating, you're looking at all the different places, and there's actually apps that can say you can block transgender people. And so there's no real space. There's very, very few places for us to go to unless it's actually around a fetish site for actual like pickup sites. And so dealing with these sorts of things actually ends up leading to more mental health issues, because then you feel isolated, you feel unloved, unwanted. Those are probably some of the biggest issues we face within our community. Is there's no acceptance of who we are. We are now, like in my case, I've gone to try dating men. And I've had men say to me, oh, well, I can't be seen with you in public, but I can come to your place and we can have some fun. Or I've had women who will go and say, no, look, I'm sorry, I can't date you because I prefer women and you still have a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you look and taste and feel like a woman, you have a penis, so that reminds me that you're a man.
And the last show we did together, we talked about that same gender attracted over same sex attracted because of the difference between sex and gender.
And so this is where the biggest, trickiest part is with trans health, transsexual health, is how to deal with this. And so unfortunately, all of a sudden when someone is attracted to you and then they cling to you, like all of a sudden there becomes more of a clinging factor. So you're dealing with mental health, you're dealing with, like, they'll just jump in and saying, oh yeah, okay, cool. And then you lose track of, shit, I forgot the condom, you know, or you'll just do whatever because it will keep them happy. And so there needs to be better help around this area.
Yeah.
So I am going to pop in my teacher hat for a moment because I have a teacher question for you. So I do sex education with my kids. They're 12-year-olds and the majority of them are cisgendered. But as far as I know, currently none of them identify as being transgender. But what messages does sex education teachers need to give for kids to be inclusive of trans?
That's a good question.
It's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. Yeah. What messages? Look, in the end, it comes down to really simple stuff. Mm-hmm. Just respecting people.
Yeah.
And not having too many hang-ups. I think that's...
Well, I think this is where Safe Schools comes back in as well. And teaching... But I think also Safe Schools need to have people who are transgender as part of the program as well to go out and explain more about what dysphoria is, because if you have somebody who's cisgender trying to explain what dysphoria is about a child and what they're going through, they're not going to understand. These are things that would actually help further is, you know, being able to teach the kids, teach the adults, teach whatever that, you know, that's why these programs are in place.
Yeah. And I think that's the sort of central tenet of the Safe Schools program is teach respect and love. And it's pretty simple.
The language we were talking about earlier, you know, like, you know, how do you address it and whatever? Yeah. Just starting at the ground up. How do you address this person?
Just be respectful. And
yeah, child can look at me and go and say, she's really a big woman. And so instead of the parent going and saying, well, she's really a man, honey, we're going to teach kids at a younger age going, that's Michelle. She was a man. She wasn't feeling well. She took some medicine. She feels better now because she's a woman. That's all they need to know. That's what my kids tell people.
And I certainly get those questions about, so can you tell us about Caitlyn Jenner? Like, yeah, I can. That's fine. And that's the way I get it into the curriculum, is the kids ask the right questions because they're so good at asking the right questions. Yeah. And every question.
Beat them with a ruler. No.
And I think from a sex ed point of view, a lot of sex ed ultimately, and I hate to be repeating myself, but ultimately it just comes down to having respectful relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're in a relationship, as you know, this is something good, I guess, to teach the kids. I'm not a teacher, but if you teach kids that if they're in a relationship and they treat that other person with respect and they ask that other person what their wants and their needs are, mm-hmm. and there's a conversation about sex before sex happens, then that you've pretty much got it all covered.
Mm.
There's not much more to it. There's a few, you know, technical bits, but, you know... That covers all the difficult bits.
And the technical bits come in some really great faces from the kids as they're learning about the technical bits.
And that's it. Like, Safe Schools, dealing with the ACL and stuff on this whole Safe Schools thing, they make it sound like the conversation in the classroom is going around, you know, I need to make sure it's the right leather that I'm smelling, you know, or make sure you use the good wax, you know. It's not that. We're actually teaching about, like you just said, it needs to be about respect and respecting the other person and what it is they need and what and how they identify and whatever. And that's all the basics it is. We're not going into depth in this shit, you know, like that's all it is.
Mm. And I've done the training on the Safe Schools Coalition documentation, and it's all about just people telling their stories and then thinking about those stories and that being able to relate to them at a later point. And that's all the program is.
Exactly.
And it's fantastic. And I'm glad that the Victorian government is continuing to fund it. So, which I was pretty sure was going to happen anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, go Victoria.
Yeah, exactly. Victoria.
Didn't ACT follow up on this as well?
Yeah, I think
yes.
so.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that's awesome. I think we need Daniel Andrews as Prime Minister.
I love that. I was going to say, I love that all the politicians' kids still get access to Safe Schools, but obviously all their families don't live in Canberra.
But of course.
A question for Michelle to start off with, but you might have a view on this as well. Would you rather see a transgender doctor?
You're not going to offend me, Michelle.
To be honest, no. I would like to see more trans psychologists or psychiatrists or whatever you want to call them to help with the mental health things, to understand more, because they'd understand the journey that's going through. But it's already hard enough to get in to see a good doctor or find a doctor that can do our work as it is. If I was trying to find and actually focus on a transgender doctor, I reckon it'd be too hard to get in and see them. Everybody would be bombarding that.
But in an ideal world, if there were lots of transgender doctors around, would you prefer? And like I said, this is not...
No, probably not. I mean, I really don't care. Okay. I probably would like to have dealt more with a trans psychologist, psychiatrist. Because I think the biggest problem that's going on is what's going on upstairs. And once you can get to understand what's going upstairs and understand the journey that's going upstairs, then the rest of it goes through. You know, people coming in saying, oh, within 3 months, I need to have up top surgery. After 6 months, I need to have lower surgery. After then 18 months, I need to have my facial feminization surgery. You need to have a trans psychiatrist, psychologist involved because for some reason there's these plans that the physical is what's going to make me more of a woman. Where I'm always saying, what's in my mind and what's in my heart when I'm sitting there holding my daughters? That's where I feel my femininity. That's where I feel most at peace. I don't feel that I need to go and having lower surgery is not going to make me more of a woman. Like I'm walking around here today and you have no idea what's going on between my legs.
And I don't have any business. Not know
I know, exactly. Yeah, sure. I don't want you to know. Yeah. Vince knows. No, but then that's where we have some fun, and you'll bring the slide into this. But at the end of the day, that's where we need more trans people at. At your level, hey, doc, I'm dealing with this with work. I'm dealing with this whatever. You understand a bit of my needs. We have our chat. You check my bloods. In and out. I don't think there's a need.
Okay.
You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. We are here to wrap up. As we head to the end and we head to the top of the hour for the Spirit Lounge crew to come through, and I think they might be talking about Easter. Yay. It's just a prediction, but I was sitting next to the person organizing the show. I'm going to ask both of you how you want to finish up the show.
Ooh.
Well, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Look, I'm just going to plug my show and how to contact me if anybody has questions. My show, Transpositions, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. If you do want to email the show, you can email us at transpositions@joy.org.au. But if you want to reach out to me specifically, you can get me on Twitter at Mish, M-I-S-H, Shepherd, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D.
And I guess, you know, sorry to be a bore, but I always finish with a safety message.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and there's two this time. One of them is, with all this stuff going on with safe schools, a lot of people are finding it tough. And I was just going to say, if you're finding it tough, make sure you put your hand up, come and see someone. Ring the Victorian switchboard, just Google Switchboard Victoria, go see cancer at the VAC, come and see your doctor, whatever it takes, put your hand up. And the other thing I was going to say, if you think you've been at risk of HIV for whatever reason, come and see someone so we can talk about PEP, and also we can have a chat about PrEP if that's something you might need.
And that is post-exposure prophylaxis and pre-exposure prophylaxis.
That's it.
It's just for, you know, those people not playing along at home. Thank you so much to both of you. We've had a fan. I've loved the show. And I've learned lots as well. So, yes.
And if you're ever looking for a good doctor, find somebody who will walk a mile in your shoes.
Yeah. I might get blisters after all.
You might. Yeah.
And hopefully not fall over in your shoes because you don't want to wreck them. All right. You're on Stand Up Straight and Spirit Lounge is up next. Thank you so much. My name's Clayton Wimshurst and I'll see you next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.